In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The church that sponsored me for ordination, St. George's Episcopal Church in New York City, has an annual service of candlelight lessons and carols that dates back to the 19th century, when the rector, Dr. William Rainsford, established a Christmas service as an offering to the neighborhood. The service has taken different forms over the years. For example, at some point in the 60s, a pulley was installed in the middle of the chancel to facilitate the hanging of greens at Christmas. So one year, when a living nativity was part of the Christmas program, the director decided it would be clever to host an angel over the manger. A good idea, except that at the first rehearsal, the angel started spinning and couldn't stop. Some people don't react well to being dizzy, and the end result was a very unangelic emptying of the actor's stomach all over the Holy Family. Fortunately, by the time I was cast as an angel in the annual production, the whole flying angel idea had been canned. Rehearsals had gone smoothly, and the night of the performance, a light snow fell as I approached the great staircase leading up to the entrance of the nave. Although I got there early to get into costume, I noticed people already arriving, men in suits with fedoras and winter coats, escorted bejeweled women in beautiful long minks and other furs I couldn't recognize. In contrast, a young homeless man and woman sat at the foot of the stairs, clad only in cloth coats, huddled next to a shopping basket filled with their pitiful belongings. Apparently, the senior warden was worried that the homeless couple would upset people coming to the beautiful pageant. So he called the police, who dutifully came and asked the couple to move across the street to Stuyvesant Park, which they did. Crisis averted, the pageant began. Shepherds with live lambs appeared. Then the other angels and I did a rather nice dance with lit candles to Creator of the Stars of Night, followed by lots of singing and intermittent narration. Towards the end of the evening, we angels made our way back to the narthex so we could lead in the Holy Family for the climax of the story. As we entered and led the Holy Family down the center aisle, there were audible gasps. Some people cried. I know I did. And a few took offense and left. That's because Blessed Mary and Joseph were played by the homeless couple, who in reality were young members of the congregation that not very many people knew. The cast and the rector knew about the unexpected casting, but the unfortunate senior warden had not been told. The director had not followed the traditional script, and some people took offense. So let us turn now to John. His doubts about Jesus center on the fact that Jesus is not following the expected script. John, you'll remember, was languishing in King Herod's dungeon. Herod had taken exception to John's denunciation of him for marrying his brother's ex-wife. The condemnation of Herod was part of John's announcement of God's kingdom. God's true king is on the way. Herod wasn't the real king. God would replace him. John spoke truth to power and was suffering the consequence. Surely, if Jesus really were the Messiah, John would not be in the false king's prison. Perhaps John had misunderstood. Perhaps his cousin was not the one coming to save Israel from the Roman oppressors. John expected Jesus to put on a show that included the fire of judgment. He expected what Isaiah prophesied: God will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. John longed for the day when Jesus would confront Herod, overthrow his rule, and become king in his place, and perhaps get his cousin out of prison. Meanwhile, Jesus was befriending tax collectors, sinners, hanging out with undesirable outsiders. He was not doing what John expected and wanted him to do. John wanted to know, are you going to follow the script? Well, yes and no. Jesus is acting the part God gave him. He is the Messiah. But who he is and how he's interpreting the script is causing surprise and consternation. Jesus didn't act like the prophets of old, who lit their stages with fiery proclamations of judgment. Rather, when Jesus stepped onto the world stage, his script read more like Isaiah 35, where the prophecies tell of what would happen when Israel was restored after judgment. Exile would end. The blind and lame would be healed. God's people would be free at last. John wanted Jesus to bring the unquenchable fire that would burn the chaff. And he did, but not in the way John expected. He did it in love, by self-sacrifice, with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Don't you know that the senior warden, the night of the Christmas pageant, experienced some of his own chaff being burned away? Mercy was at the heart of Jesus's messianic mission, and it remains at the heart of the church's work today. Jesus invokes a special blessing for those who realize this is the true story, but it's also a warning to those who are puzzled and to John himself. This is who God is. This is where and how God is at work. Those who recognize him and are not offended because they were expecting someone or something else will know God's blessing. Still, we feel great sympathy for John. How could he be in Herod's prison when the one who sets prisoners free was walking on the streets nearby? John doubted because of what Jesus had not done. And isn't that the source of so many of our doubts and disappointments? Jesus, why did you let my wife die, my husband? Jesus, where is your salvation for my marriage? Where is your healing for my child? It's always the miracles Jesus doesn't perform for us that become stumbling blocks to our faith. But what of the miracle of the Word made flesh? What of the miracle of Jesus taking our judgment on himself and suffering and dying to save us? What of the miracle of the resurrection and ascension? What of the miracle of the Holy Spirit freely given? Jesus, God in the flesh, has rescued us. Grace and mercy are ours in Christ, even in the midst of doubt and disappointment, even for those offended by such glorious good news. Amen.